Well, let's dive into the Word, team. I know we're running a little behind, but that's okay. We're either going to be a little late today or really, really early for next Sunday. So either way, it's going to work out. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking that by your Spirit you would anoint me to speak your Word, and that you'd anoint our ears to hear it, and that, Father, we would move forward in the fullness of your call and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. That was right on time. As you know, we're in a series of messages called Ancient Pillars, and today I'm going to talk about one of the third. They're not in any particular order, but the third pillar today I want to talk about being naturally supernatural. And if you look in the scriptures in Matthew 5. 13 to 16, it says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a light or a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." A while back, the Lord gave me a vision of ancient pillars, this picture that Tanji painted for us. And he said to me, they're ancient pillars that hold up an open heaven. And if you're joining us today and you're just new, I'll just quickly, just to give you a review, it's pillars, the strongholds. The Bible says that our weapons are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And then Paul defines them by saying they're thoughts or imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. But if something has been perverted by the enemy, like the enemy can't create, he can only pervert. So obviously if there's negative strongholds, there must have to be a possibility for positive ones, for godly strongholds. And these pillars are pillars of thought. They're systems of thought that help create strongholds of thinking in our lives to hold heaven open over us. An open heaven isn't found in a location, although that's part of it. But an open heaven is created on account of a posture of God's people engaging the way heaven thinks on a thing and choosing to make that truth rather than what they see around them. The transformation of our mind isn't a transplant of a miraculous transplant of a brain. The transformation of our mind is learning how heaven thinks on a thing and then engaging that as going to be your truth and your reality on that. Engaging the kingdom thought, the kingdom purpose, the kingdom perspective, and then making that your form of truth rather than what the world says around you. Am I making sense? And God wants you to be free. He wants you to be so free that you can walk in the fullness of an open heaven all the time. It's not a matter of us trying to find an open heaven. We have the authority to command heaven to open over us as we engage the way that heaven thinks on a thing. What's the heaven that I'm talking about? There's three forms. There's the temporal, that's where we live. And then there's the third heaven where Christ, where the Father resides. And then in between, the second heaven where the principalities and powers of the air are, and that is the part that we have authority over to command to open, that we might have unfettered access to our Father in heaven. Are you following me? I don't have time any longer to be impressed with what the enemy is doing in the second heaven. I want to break through that so I can access what the Father has given me to bring life here on earth. When we were in Trinidad, we were told, oh, it's very dark, it's very dark. It's dark. There are a lot of oppression, a lot of occult, a lot of things like that. And you know what? There was. But Tom and I didn't have time to be impressed with the darkness when we have the authority to bring the light. And you have authority to bring the light. It doesn't matter the condition of the darkness around you. You have authority to bring the light. And to the measure of your, now listen to me, to the measure of light that's coming over you, that's the measure of your submission to heaven itself. So if you pray for heaven to open and you find there's still some clouds there, then address it in yourself because it has authority over you. You get what I'm saying? So there must be an issue or whatever that has authority over you, which you can easily repent of and address and command to back off. It's time that the body of Christ rose up. It's time that the body of Christ became all that she could be. God perfected in strongholds what the enemy has perverted in them. So what are these thoughts? I feel like I'm missing some of my panels, guys. So I'm just going to, you can just put on a picture and I'm just going to roll with it. Is that okay, you guys? Are you going to be all right with me? All right. There's six of them. God is good. Nothing's impossible for God. The old man is dead. We're children with an inheritance. We're filled with God himself and we're naturally supernatural. And today I want to talk about being naturally supernatural. It stands to reason that if I'm filled with God himself, that I would be enabled to be supernatural like he is. In 2 Peter verses, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, it says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through him you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desires. You are filled with God himself. And the old man, the corruption of the old man is dead. You don't have a sin nature anymore. Therefore, you are qualified to be a partaker of the divine nature of God, reflecting his nature to the world around you. Can I have an amen? Am I making sense? You know, there was a young man who happened to be a fan of opera. I know it's hard to imagine that a younger man would be a fan of opera, but he was. And he happened to hear this one singer, and she sang like an angel, and he fell in love with her voice. He had never seen her, but over the recordings and the CDs and such, he fell in love with her voice and managed in some way to create a correspondence with her. And through the correspondence, they begin to develop this relationship and fall in love. And then one day he managed to get a ticket to one of her events, all because she was quite a famous singer, but a ticket to her event, but he was quite some distance away. But he saw her and heard her singing. And again, his love for that voice of hers just began to well up within him. And he couldn't take it anymore. And he sent her one last email after the concert. Said, "I saw you. You were so phenomenal. I'm in love with you. I must marry you. Can we please be married?" And she consented to this, and they were married. And on the wedding night, he was sitting at the edge of the marriage bed, and she was preparing herself. And he didn't realize that from a distance she looked quite fine, but she was quite a bit older than he was, actually substantially. And this was something that he didn't recognize initially because he had fallen in love with her voice. And she stood there preparing herself to join him in the wedding bed and took off her wig to reveal gray hair and pulled out her wooden eye and took out her teeth, took off her pig leg and put on a flannel nighty and began to hop over to the bed. And as he watched his new bride hopping over to the marriage bed, he cried out, "For God's sake, sing, sing." He doesn't want us. Paul talks to us. He says, don't be like Moses. Listen to this. "Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters of stone came from such a glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit even have more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed in its glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come and to have has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that has surpassed it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, how much more will it have that has permanent glory? Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away." Not like Moses. Not like Moses. You know, Kathy said something to me. She was reading out of Exodus 34, and she had this revelation from reading it. I used to think that Moses came down and he had this moment where his face shone and he covered it up. I thought it was a moment. Listen to this. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. Aaron and all the people saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders in the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken to him on Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people what he was commanded. And the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, and that skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went back to speak with him. What's the point? The point is that Moses continually shone with the glory of God. And when he unveiled his face, it was to be unveiled before the Lord. But when he returned, he would have to put it back on because the people were afraid because his skin would shine because he was talking with God. And Paul says to us, don't be like Moses who put a veil over his face. You are called to be the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. And what we read in the beginning was this: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give praise to God in heaven. Now listen, what does it mean to let your light shine? When Jesus spoke, he declared and he demonstrated. He declared that the kingdom had come, and then he demonstrated it through miracles and signs and wonders. That's our call. We owe the world a debt of the miraculous. That old spirit of religion has been singing nicely and been singing a lot of the things that of the Lord. But when the world has come to see her take off her wig and pull out her wooden eye and do all these things, they're just saying, for God's sake, sing. For God's sake, sing. We've had enough. The world has had enough of hearing. The kingdom of God isn't just about words. It's about power. And we need to engage being naturally supernatural in every aspect. You are naturally supernatural. You have the spirit of the living God dwelling within you. How can you be any less than supernatural? How can you walk in a lesser calling when you've been called to a greater one? God doesn't have the natural supernatural condition that humans have. God is all natural, and that just happens to be supernatural. I'm all natural. It's natural for God to be supernatural. It's just how he is. And it should be how we are too. We have more than a message. We've got more than a song. We've got the whole package. Oh, no, you didn't. We've got the whole package. You have got the whole package. Don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit and that God dwells in you? Don't you know that God is desiring to break out of you? Let Pentecost get out. Let Pentecost escape. With every message, I tell you how the pillar is brought to you, and I give you the I statement from it. And so I'd like to do that right now. This pillar is brought to you by risk. You cannot engage the supernatural of God without being willing to risk. I thought you'd say faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without risk is dormant. You must engage risk to walk in faith. There's just no other way around it. You have to step out of the boat to walk on the water. You have to reach out and extend the power of God to actually see it move. Why? Because God has chosen to work through us. He wants to show that the ordinary can be clothed and filled with the extraordinary, because that's how he operates. He wants his people to be so clearly otherworldly that the world must take up and notice that there is another reality that's greater than the reality that I live in that is moving and shaking the world around me. You are not subject to the natural laws of men when you are filled with the supernatural power of God. You have diplomatic immunity as an ambassador of Christ from the laws of the land because you are filled with God himself. And therefore, naturally supernatural. You don't have to whip up some sort of, you know, charismatic fervor to try to, you don't have to be having a shake in your hip or be jerking or have fallen down recently or be, you know, in some sort of charismatic brouhaha to make it happen. Not that I'm against that, but I am actually for the kingdom of heaven moving forward with force through ordinary people who make it their life mission to naturally show forth the supernatural nature of God everywhere they go so that the kingdom of heaven can be manifest in the lives of those who are hurting. These people right here need miracles. They need miracles. And we're going to touch them miraculously through the natural ways, but they need miracles supernaturally. Who's going to do it? For God's sake, sing. For God's sake, sing. Sing. It says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You remember, don't you remember? I can do all things, all things, all things. You guys remember that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can't remember that part, but it was just. The I statement here is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Nothing is impossible. We must engage risk to be able to see all things accomplished. We have to face fear. We have to face impossibility head on to see the impossible broken. You have to face the fear, and you can do it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Am I making sense? Please stop reducing your capacity to what you're capable of. Please stop reducing your capacity to what you're capable of. If all you have is 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's enough to feed 5,000. All you have is all he needs to do all he wants. He just needs to have all of you. Don't ask me to say that again. I really want to lay hands on people today and impart just the freedom to engage the impossible. Remember, please, that the impossible is a necessary ingredient for the miraculous. You will not have the miraculous without the impossible. So why do you fear the impossible? It's necessary to see the miraculous. Some of you are saying, I want to see more miracles in my life. My question is, are you engaging the impossible? Because that's where the miracles are. Well, I've done that before and God didn't answer. Well, so what? It's his job to do the answering. It's your job to do the asking. So if you stop asking, he can't answer. And there is a need occasionally for the crucible of unanswered prayers to put within us the character to steward the answered ones. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It would be better to be found looking stupid than to have missed the boat of opportunity of seeing the miraculous come to those around you. the fullness of the nature of the King is waiting for you on the other side of your obedience. Now just press it so that it's green.
The Lord has impressed on me while Landon speaking the aspect of risk. Something about risk in the kingdom, it's mitigated by intimacy. Would you agree?
Mm.
Give you an illustration real quick. There's a chair at the back here. I have a unique relationship with this chair. I carried it from the back. That's my relationship. I'm pretty sure that chair will support my weight. There's a certain degree of risk. I could sit on that chair and it could entirely collapse. But I believe it can hold my weight. I've seen it hold other people's weight. So I take my belief into action. And in an act of faith, I risk. I sit down on the chair. It holds my weight. Spectacular. I have a more of an intimate relationship with this chair. I know it will support my weight. I get out of the chair. I do what I got to do. I know that chair is going to support my weight because it did in the past. The Lord, His promises are true. They are yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
This chair will hold my weight. The Lord will hold you. So, that slide about risk. It's brought to you by risk. You have to risk. But the unique thing about risk is the more intimate you are with the Lord, the less risk there really is. The more you invest in Him and you trust His promises, you claim them, you make them your own, the risk is mitigated. I know Him. I trust Him. He is always faithful. I'm going for it, Lord.
Earlier today, Tom, yeah, go ahead, give God a hand clap. Earlier today, Tom told me just about how he had been praying last night and felt the Spirit of the Lord saying, hold the course, hold the course. And he shared with me how he and Moen went up and prayed for a lady with meningitis, and she got up and was healed. Why? Because meningitis doesn't hold a candle to the power of Jesus. Neither does cancer. Neither does dysfunction. Neither does poverty. Nothing. Nothing holds a candle to the power of the King Jesus. Nothing. And I feel today is your day to begin to step into the, being naturally supernatural. What I'd like to do is I'd like for our pastor's ministry team to come up to the front here and stand in front of me facing out. And if you would like to just be prayed over today for breakthrough into being naturally supernatural, I'm going to invite you to come and do that. So pastoral team, can you come up here quickly? And council, please come on up here quickly. And just stand up here. Wives, too, just come and stand up here, please. And we're going to engage this in just a moment. Would you all stand with me? Perhaps you're here today and you don't know the supernatural power of Jesus because you've never engaged the supernatural love of Jesus. I've got fantastic news. God so loved the world, God so loved the world that He gave His Son that whoever would believe in Him would never perish, but would have everlasting life. You might be here today and you've been thinking, I got needs in my life and I've cried out to God and I just don't know, I feel far away from Him. I've got great news this morning. You can be close to Him, closer than the mention of His name, by simply understanding that Jesus came, died for you, that you could be free from sin and engage life with Him and spend eternity with Him. Some pastors won't tell you that there's a hell. I will. There's a hell. If you die outside of relationship with Jesus, you risk eternal separation from God. But if you die knowing Him, you walk into eternal reward, your inheritance. Stay tuned. I'll talk about that next week. God has an inheritance for you. It's called heaven. And you can walk in the fullness of that if you ask Jesus to be Lord over your life today. And maybe you're here and you felt like God wouldn't accept you. I've got great news. He accepted me. And I wasn't very good. So He can accept you. Why? Because there is nothing that can separate you from his love should you choose to receive it. It's a free gift. Maybe you're here and you haven't been serving the Lord the way you should. Maybe you've made a commitment to Christ, but your life isn't reflecting the Lordship of Christ. Today is your day to get that in order. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we close this out, if you're here, I'm going to just do this quickly. If you're here and you want to make a commitment or ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or you want to recommit your life to him, I'm going to look quickly from my right all the way across. And if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand quickly. I don't have much time, so here I go. I'm looking across. Please raise a hand quickly if that's you. Raise it nice and high. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hand down. So let's all pray this after me just to make it easier for the one person. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And I ask you to come in to my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent for my old ways and I engage freedom in you. Come and take control of my life in Jesus' name. In amen. Now, if you're here and you want to be prayed over to just walk naturally, supernatural, quickly, I want you to respond. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come on, there's more. Come quickly. Come quickly. Find a place and just let them pray over you, a release of fearless faith. Go ahead. Come on. Come on, come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. The best thing that you can ever ask from God is for more. Hallelujah. Now, before it goes crazy up here, just give me a second. Those of you who got you're going to pray, just give me half a second. Hallelujah. They're already going. They don't want to wait. When the Holy Spirit came on mankind, and they were filled, you'll notice often that they responded in boldness. And if you need a fresh touch of the boldness of God, today's your day. Ask for it, and you should receive it. Amen? So, I'm going to call us to be dismissed here in just a moment, but we got time. Don't worry about rushing. But God loves you, and he's for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you great...